words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Put your best foot forward, beating around the bush. Have you ever wondered where these sayings and others like them come from? I was surprised to learn that always a bridesmaid, never a bride actually comes from a Listerine ad. Did you know that? First run in the 1920s, the ad sold millions of bottles of mouthwash by playing on the supposed female fear of staying single. Poor Edna was getting on for 30, and most of her girlfriends were either already married or about to tie the knot, the ad said. How she wished that instead of being their bridesmaid, she could be the bride. However, any romance of hers invariably ended quickly. There was a reason. Unbeknownst to her, she suffered from bad breath, and no one would tell her, not even her closest friends. Don't you love that ads in the 1920s had words like invariably and unbeknownst? Well, feminist issues aside, the saying, always a bridesmaid, never a bride, isn't that upsetting. But there are other sayings that every time I hear them, I think, okay, I don't want to know how that one got started. Things like, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Or even scarier, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I don't want to know. Well, I don't want to know where those sayings come from, but we do know what they mean. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater means that when you have to get rid of something bad, be careful that you don't, in the process, also get rid of something good. If you're having a yard sale, make sure you don't accidentally sell your wedding jewelry along with the costume jewelry. That kind of thing. And it's this saying, this principle, that I want to begin with in what I hope will be a helpful reflection on our gospel passage today. See, when Jesus calls the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites for prizing human tradition over the commandment of God, I don't think he's saying that human traditions are necessarily bad. In fact, as Mark writes it, what the Pharisees are doing is plain common sense. Washing their hands, washing their food before they eat it, and washing the dishes. Imagine that, eh? But when you dig deeper into this passage, you do see that the Pharisees are actually being quite extreme in their application of the law here, and more importantly, quite petty. Still, Jesus' issue with them isn't that they are observing traditions, but that the traditions have become more important than the God who gave these laws of life. He's not saying, as we can hear this gospel reading, you know, forget rules and regulations and laws and traditions and just make sure your heart is right with God. Of course, Jesus wants our heart to be close to the heart of God. And yes, he does warn that traditions can be dangerous and hurtful to others too when they take the place of God in our lives. But Jesus is not throwing out the law. He is not tossing out the baby with the bathwater. Why am I emphasizing this? Isn't the most important message here Jesus' slam against hypocrisy? Well, yes, it is, and we'll get there. But we need to understand that though the leaders in today's passage got carried away with it and were more interested in accusing than in being faithful to God, the law itself was a gift from God. And Jesus would never talk trash about a gift from God. As our reading from James reveals, every perfect gift is from above. And it's tempting in these days of anxiety about the future of the church to throw out everything that is good about our Anglican traditions and heritage in the desperate race to be relevant. So while the men accusing Jesus and his disciples in today's gospel are hypocrites, you know, Jesus called them that, and I'm not about to argue with him. In general, when people try to obey the law, not for the sake of the law itself, but because they loved God, they do a good thing. And when it comes to our own church rules and practices, as long as we have good biblical reason to believe they are gifts from God and not empty ritual, we need not apologize for them. There's lots of dirty bathwater around, to be sure, but there's a baby in there somewhere, too, something of precious value and worth that is worth preserving and defending. Now, having said that, Jesus' teachings today do call us to some self-examination. It won't do for us just to say, yeah, they were hypocrites. Yes, they valued human tradition over the things God actually cares about. The scripture today is a mirror, one we are invited to look into and ask ourselves individually, but especially as a community, how Jesus' words apply to us. How and when do we fall prey to hypocrisy, not understanding what it is that defiles? I know the word defile probably sounds alien or maybe even quaint to us, but it's a powerful word, and we can still sense what it means. The religious leaders were offended because Jesus got his disciples got the tradition wrong. But Jesus says, hold on, let's think about what's truly offensive, about what really defiles a person. Is it bad table manners, or is it lying, cheating, murdering, and all the rest? You know, hypocrisy is more than not practicing what we preach. It really comes down to pettiness, to hurting others because we can. And all of us are prone to it. In the church, it can disguise itself in the need to uphold certain ideas about tradition and propriety. Again, nothing wrong with tradition and being, when we can, proper and respectful. But when this goes too far and turns into pettiness and judgment, we go too far. An old friend of mine from high school told me a story I'll never forget. He was in first year university, and due to a major snowstorm, he ended up at the last minute not being able to go home for Christmas. He was lonely and missed his family. So lonely, in fact, that though he hadn't gone to church since he was a child, he decided spontaneously to go to a Christmas Eve service by himself. He got up from his dorm just wearing what he was wearing and walked and found his way to a pew in an Anglican church. He sat down and took in the music and started to feel better. And then he felt a tap on his shoulder. Turning around, he came face to face with a sour-looking person who told him, "Men do not wear hats in this church." He was so embarrassed, he left. In this case, tradition got in the way of what God was trying to do in my friend's heart. Here's another question we can ask ourselves. Which human precepts do we, like Jesus said the Pharisees were doing, teach as though they were doctrine? What does that even mean? Well, basically, it's when we say something is from God when it really is just our own idea. Let me give you one example. Have you ever heard the saying, God will never give you more than you can handle? How many of you have heard that? Almost a lot of you, more than half of you. Well, that saying, people think that it comes from a Bible, and it's said with good intentions, I think. It's quoted around churches an awful lot, and usually when there's suffering going on. But I have to tell you, this is not a doctrine. This is a human idea, a twist on a Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says God will not allow us to face more temptation than we can handle. When we take this verse out of context and tell people that God won't give them more than they can handle, we actually lay a burden on them, telling them that if they can't cope, then maybe there's something wrong with them or something wrong with their faith, that they shouldn't get overwhelmed because God will not give us more than we can handle. But don't we all get overwhelmed sometimes? I believe God does let us carry more than we can handle, frequently, in fact, not to hurt us, but because the fundamental truth about us is that we need God and we need each other. That's the doctrine, that's the truth, but we twist it by just baptizing a modern-day saying that we think is from God. That's just one example, touching on just one aspect of what Jesus is saying here. But I encourage you and I remind myself to think about how and when either traditions or human ideas have taken the place of God and God's priorities in our lives. Not just so that we can dodge the charge of hypocrisy, but so that we will, like God the Father, prize mercy, compassion, and love above everything else. I once told a children's story about a little girl who wanted to wear her best dress to school. Her father didn't want her to wear it because he didn't want her to get it dirty. But the child persisted, and so Dad said, "Okay, you can wear your dress, but don't get it dirty." As she walked to school, proud and careful in her fancy dress, the little girl saw a friend of hers on the ground. He had fallen off his bike, landed in a mud puddle, and twisted his ankle so badly he couldn't stand. "Can you help me up?" he called. The little girl hesitated. If she helped him out of the mud puddle, she'd certainly get her dress dirty. But the hesitation lasted only a moment before she got down on her knees in that puddle with her friend and helped him out. Did she get in trouble? Of course not. The father's order to take care of her dress wasn't bad, but he wanted his daughter to be kind more than he wanted her to be clean. So with God, mercy always wins. Taking care of our things, including our church things, is good stewardship. But love trumps it every time. May God turn our hearts toward him and toward the world he loves, even as our lips, now in this service of worship, seek to honor his holy name. Amen.